that's your prayer tonight. Lord, we know you're still here. Would you just shine down on me? Amen. Just be seated for a moment, real quick here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. After all the rat race of the world, it's good to still have a refuge. Yeah, I mean, I understand we have our personal refuge, but I just mean a place to go and to forget about everything. Dishes can stay in the sink. Clothes can stay in the hamper. I'm going to go worship the Lord for a while. Amen. Just wanted to say a few things. Remember that next Wednesday. And me and the family will be leaving on Sunday night. We'll be getting back the following, I think, Monday night. So for those two services, we'll be gone. Brother Alexander will be preaching for us here. I also posted Brother Craig Boer down in Lima is having special services July 16th, I believe, and 17th. Somewhere you can, I got it posted, they sent it to me. And if you can support those meetings, that'd be wonderful. I believe in supporting the body of Christ whenever we can. I think we ought to do that. So keep that in mind. Keep me in prayer. I'm glad I'm almost done with this class thing I've been doing this week. I just realized that I'm forgetting stuff, and I don't like that. I like to get everything done, and my goodness, I forgot to send an email, I forgot to text somebody back, I forgot a prayer request, left it on the shelf on Sunday, and that just about tore me up. You know, it's just, Lord help me. You know, sometimes I hate being human. I really do. I don't mean that. I mean all the time. I hate being mortal. I can't stand it because I'm not really mortal on the inside. I got a craving to not be mortal anymore. I got a craving to be immortal. Amen. And forgetting things and making mistakes and stuff, it's not becoming to a Christian, is it? Can you say amen to that? When you do it, just doesn't rub right, does it? It's just not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm glad to know that soon and very soon it won't be that way anymore. We'll be in a kingdom where we don't have to run around with our heads cut off all the time. With so much time, we'll have plenty of time to do everything we ever wanted to do.
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord. God help me, I'm not doing anything. But I just feel like, Lord, I'm going to be double-checking prayer requests and things like that for a while, just to make sure I got them all up here and we didn't forget anything, because I bet you can relate what that might feel like when somebody wanted something prayed for and you forgot. So just from us also, if we don't know the prayer cloth, don't let us forget. I understand. And I do appreciate that. And I believe that. I agree. Lord, that you've got that kind of faith. That's wonderful. It takes a spiritual person to say something like that. You know, it wouldn't take her too much to say, well, I guess Brother Andrew don't love you. Well, God, why'd you take that job from me? That's a lot of people's attitude anymore. But what you just saw here is rare. Because the Holy Spirit is few and far between, but I believe our sister has it. Amen. So praise the Lord. Well, not to prolong the time too much more, I believe I haven't forgot anything. Again, like Dad said, please keep us in prayer if you remember us. More than anything, I do want to be a witness. I want to be a light wherever I am. So let's stand together and let's just keep. I think that was a great song to sing. Yeah, we invite Brother Josiah up. Come expecting to hear from God tonight.
Amen.
So let's invite our brothers, get the atmosphere just right. The Holy Spirit can do as he pleases. Right. So let's sing that again.
Walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night.
here is the agreement scripture in verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone. And I believe that many times we have to find ourselves alone.
That's right.
In a place with God before we can find that blessing. And there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the gate. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that man, when he wrestled with, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And they continue to wrestle, they continue to struggle here. And on verse 26, he says, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.
Amen.
And he said unto them, what is that? Lord, I bless you. Your precious Heavenly Father has come before you, Lord, absolutely confident.
Yes.
There is God who hears our prayer. Lord, there's a God who came down in the form of a man about 2,000 years ago to fulfill all the prophecies that were told before him. Lord, to create a ministry that would go on and break even unto this day, Lord. A ministry that would come and minister to the broken hearts and bind up the brokenhearted and preach salvation to the lost, a year of jubilee and the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, we're living underneath that time, dear Father, where we need more of you, dear God. Lord, there's not a person in this building here tonight that can't say that they need a blessing from you, Lord. Lord, everyone here, we need a blessing from you, Lord. Oh, Father, if you would just send your angel messenger here tonight, Lord. Lord, if you would send your angel messenger, that same angel messenger that spoke to Brother Branham, if you would send him here tonight, Lord. The anointing of this last day age, Lord. May it be here tonight, Father, upon the hearts of the people as the word goes forth. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, Father.
How many here believe the word of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Well, we know that the fundamental foundation of faith is the word of God.
That's right.
And so we're so happy today to be able to firmly stand upon the word of God with our faith. There's many things we could believe in this day. We could believe in unicorns. We could believe in evolution. We could believe in Santa Claus or many, many different things. But we would find over time, and perhaps maybe not in this life, but in the next, those things are not true.
Right.
But there is one thing that we can build our faith upon, which will never shift.
Hallelujah.
And like we lay down a strong foundation that we will know, which will never shift, like they lay down for a rocket ship.
Amen.
And there's one day that rocket can go off that foundation. And that's the foundation that we're standing upon here tonight. So now we come to this place where we're looking for a further blessing from the Lord. We need something more from God. And we find that Jacob was in this place. And he wrestled there with this man. And he wrestled all night, it says.
Right.
You can imagine the struggle of two men together, 8 hours or so, perhaps until the breaking of the day, it says.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling and pressing. And the angel says to him, let me go. And Jacob says, I won't let you go until you give me a blessing.
Amen. Come on, brother.
But then we come to this strange place in Scripture where the angel steps back, realizing that he really isn't going to be let go until he gives Jacob his blessing. He steps back and he asks a simple question. And it seems like a very strange place to begin with introductions. You would think that if you're going to introduce yourself, you would do that at the beginning of the class.
Right, sure.
But all of a sudden the angel says, what is your name?
Amen.
And it's such a simple question, just like Christ so many times asked when people came to him for a blessing. But within, behind that question is the answer to everything that they're looking for.
Sure.
So there must be something special about this question. That as a prerequisite for giving the blessing, he had to ask it in such a strange context.
Sure.
And so I'd like to explore that question with you. What is your name? kind of like your military. I always kind of approach them. But this was a, you know, this hunter-gatherer culture.
Yes.
Harry was probably a pretty cool man. You know, I'm not even just Harry, he's a dumb man.
Right. Cool.
And Jacob has this kind of weak point where he's called a heel bone. So let's just watch the boys as they grow here in verse 27. And as the boys grew, Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in the house. And so here we see already Esau's growing into exactly what his name had been. It was hairy, manly fellow, probably riding across the fields and the plains of the desert there in his manly strength upon his steed, and gathering food and hunting and pulling food back. And you can imagine even as a young man, as the boys were growing here, that he had a certain sort of aura about him, a certain kind of manly appeal to his fellow young friends. I can almost imagine him just being a popular kid at school.
Yeah, right.
And Jacob here, he's a plain man. But Ben says he's a mama's boy. He's kind of stayed back at home with mama and, you know, just kind of come into his spirits as a boy, as a little child. And you can imagine then how it must have been for Jacob growing up. And just imagining, again, just trying to get to this place where you can understand how the question, what is your name, impacted you. And so for Jacob, there's just a little whole question about this time. I can imagine the boys all kind of all around him there out in the desert field, and he's kind of calling him names, and probably Esau leading him there, and his little brother there,
right?
Probably kicking the dirt at him and saying, shh, the heel grab, you see her? And mama's boys sticking back there, and the parents don't know anything.
Right.
And so, there must have been this teasing, this conflict that went on, that had broken down his view of himself even at a young age. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to not even have the respect of boys and his fellow comrades. But in 28, he says, Isaac loved himself because he could eat of his venison, but he could have a bunch of
them. That's right, though.
And so you can imagine at a young age what an impact this must have been on a young boy. He didn't even have the love of his father. And so we see what this boy is growing up into. He's a man that's called from a young time a deceiver, a heel grabber, a supplanter. He grows up with boys kicking at him and making fun of him. He's way down on the floating pole at school. And when he comes home for 10th at night, all he's got is this mother that's loving him. And there's no father here that's really showing him respect and care and love, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we see that he begins, as he grows into a man, as you know the story goes, he begins to identify with his name. As he deceives and swindles his way into taking the birthright and getting the things he laid in and getting the blessings out of that arrangement he saw. So maybe now we can come to a place where we're relating to Jacob a little bit more and understand what it meant when Jesus said, what is your name? And I believe that when we look at ourselves, the most truest picture of ourselves often comes when we look back at our childhood. When we come into adulthood, there's a time where we start to realize that it's not proper for us to let people see this side of ourselves and this side of ourselves. When we can be masked who we really are, and over time, we don't even see ourselves anymore.
Right?
But if we just step and take another step into Jacob's shoes here, walk another mile, into the lake, and I think we can perhaps see some of ourselves again. So this name that was given to us by our birth, as Jacob had a name that was given to him by his birth. And you can imagine, Brother Brown says that there's two natures that were put into him, the higher side of that temper like a buzzsaw, and the side from his mother where he had a potential for all colors and would have ever come to that in his life. It just created a wild thing before the Holy Ghost got a hold of him.
Yeah,
and it's so grateful that the Holy Ghost can get a hold of him.
Yes,
but these are the things that we're born with. We have to understand that. We can be born with temper. We can be born with anger.
Oh,
just a natural bent where we're just angry things that come with that. You can imagine just this great wash of humanity that started out at the sin in the garden, came on through, father after father, mother after mother, catching what was wrong in the way that their mother and their father raised them. And this little bend right here where they didn't raise them just right, they didn't correct them just right, they didn't do it quite out of love, but they saw something in the home way back in their childhood that affected the way that they saw natural relations going forward. And all these things that come forward out of the family life, and it comes into one family and gets passed down onto the next family. And that child, it gets passed down to the next wash, and he reaches over here and he has the influence of his friends and his coworkers and his teachers.
Yes.
All this wash of influence coming through that channel of that man. He raises up, grabs a woman over here. They decide to marry. They come forth. They breed up children again. And it's this great wash of humanity going down. And so it's no surprise that today in this last hour we have the most perverse gifted age that ever be.
Right, right.
It's a great wash where this humanity has come down through 6,000 years and is laying upon this people.
Right.
And without the power of the Holy Ghost, that we are caught up in that wash and that dirtiness. Graham says that a man, maybe a man is born in high passion, and he sees these modern stripteases on the street and is constantly in trouble. He says, a man is born in that. And so you can't blame yourself, but you're born in these ways. They now say that alcoholism is in the genes. But Brennan said that years ago before they ever came out to study. And now the church world is pushing against this claim of homosexuals, that there's something within the gene pool that causes them to be homosexual. And I have absolutely no problem with that, because I know what happened back in the garden. I know the perversion of it, and I know that there's something wrong with our nature fundamentally. So absolutely, we deal with these problems. These problems can be here. We have to be able to minister. We have to be able to recognize that these are things that are born underneath the first birth. And underneath the first birth, there's God. Now, what we see is Jacob comes up. He's got the name that says, you're a heel grabber, you're a deceiver, you're this, you're that, you're the other. The name applies itself to that nature that he was born underneath. But he comes up and through the experiences of life, even his little boys coming around him and kicking the dirt at him and calling him names, not having friends and just going through life friendless and going through life without a father that loved him. He finds that his experiences beginning to form his identity of himself. And so, too, for us, our experiences in life can form an identity.
Absolutely.
Where we find through our family relationships or through our unsuccessfulness in attaining friends for ourselves, we feel unloved, we feel friendless, and we feel lonely. And we begin to ascribe this as part of our identity. Not that I'm asking the Lord for more friends. I'm showing myself to be friendly. I'm loved by the Lord. And I know that he's going to send someone that will show me his love and a human being. But we actually begin to look at it the opposite way. And we say, no, my identity is I'm an unlovable person. There's something about me that's wrong. There's something about me when I meet people, it just doesn't match up. And so I can't get friends. That's who I am as a person. And it's identity that we take for ourselves, an identity that's a lie by the enemy.
Yes, sir.
We have to recognize that. Disappointments in life can cause us to have an identity. The boss fires us. The boss doesn't like us. Business goes belly up. Maybe we didn't get married at the time of life we wanted to, and those things go that way. Our parents kicked us out at an early age, and life ever since then didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. Didn't get the college education that we might have wanted to get. Didn't get this, that, or the other. And if we're not careful, disappointments begin to form how we see ourselves. And we begin to believe lies about ourselves. Like the woman there comes to my mind now, she was told a lie was told on her.
That's what I said.
That she was a witch. And she spends so much of her energy and so much of her time going from meeting to prayer meeting, from things that are done to us by others. Like the little boy standing around Jacob, kicking him, calling him names. We can feel unappreciated and misunderstood. And we can begin to cause complexes that cripple us. And we just feel like, you know what, I just can't do that over there. I've never had the ability to do that. I'm just giving up trying. Every time I go that way, I fail. And you know what, I'm just going to stay right here. And I'm going to let myself be bound up and twisted like a tree that's going around some old fence post out there. But there's a power to remove the fence posts in our life.
Wow,
there's a power to remove complexes in our life.
Sir.
There's a delivering power.
Praise the Lord.
But you see, we're not completely victims in all of this, because there is a name also that we make for ourselves. In Genesis chapter 11, 4, if you'll turn there with me. It right here in the scripture, the Spirit. And this is speaking of Nimrod. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And so now we begin to see man's ambition bring the picture this over. Where man steps into the picture and says, you know what? I might have complexes, and I might have this, and I might have that, and I might have the other, but by goodness here, I think I can do something.
Sure.
I think I can just kind of press in over here, and I've got a little bit of gifts, and I've got a little bit of talents. I can sing over here, or I can preach over here, or you know what, at work they're really liking me, and they promoted me, and it looks like I might be going up the chain. And if I play the cards right, I might be able to make a name. I might be able to make a name for myself on the trip, to build some sort of tower that reaches to the heavens, and people can look to, and they can say, look at me, look at that man.
Sure. Come on, brother.
And this is such a great temptation, especially to men, I believe, because we can get into a place where we desire the respect of men. And we go to our workplaces, and I understand the sisters have their individual places that make them peculiar to the world. But I'll tell you what, when a brother goes into the workplace and says, no, I don't want the overtime shift, I don't want the extra money, I'm taking a Saturday off, and I'm working 6 days a week, just speaking to the brother here, they're working 6 days a week and for the last few months, and I'm just going to take a Saturday off. Well, what are you doing? I need some training. I'm not doing anything. Well, almost like a pressure on the job site. You're just going to go home and spend time with your family? Well, you could come in and work then. And so there's this pressure when us men go to work to create a name for ourselves, to excel in this place, to take the overtime hours, to do what the boss wants us to do. To such an extent that other things suffer. We begin to not just doing these things, but we begin to create some sort of an identity. And as men, we begin to pull our work and our value from our work instead of our God.
Yes, amen.
And the blessings of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The Word says in Psalms that he delights himself in the Lord, all the desires of his heart will be.
Yes, sir.
But the prerequisite for it is that we first delight ourselves in God.
Amen.
And then by his Spirit, he washes our heart so that all of our desires are exactly pure. And we'll find our satisfaction by nature then in our families and the things that God gives to us.
Yes, sir.
And not in the name that we can go and make ourselves in the world.
Amen.
In the name of a career or accomplishments, some status in life, our bank account, how much real estate we have, how many boats we can go in the back, what about what kind of car we drive, and we fix up this great 1952 vehicle, it looks great. And we begin to brag on that. And that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. I have no problems with people having hobbies. I have no problems with people doing well at work. I believe that we should do that. As Christians, we should have a testimony for those. some habit or some wrong pattern. Perhaps some habit or that he got into at a young age and picked up a cigarette and started puffing on it. And it just became a habit for ourselves, and now you've got the name labeled on yourself, smoking.
Sure.
You did this over here, and now you've got the name labeled yourself. You've got these kinks in your character, and you're like, you know what? That's just the way I'm built, and I can't see things differently. I'm just messed up over here, and that's the way it's always going to be.
Come on, brother.
We begin to take a name for ourselves. Let ourselves fall into some trap with someone, and for the rest of our time here on earth, our name becomes adulterer or pervert.
Come on, brother.
But you see, there's a delivering power that I'd like to introduce you to. I want to give a very strong caveat against ambition. Because we can come to a place here where we say, all right, I'm not going to go to work and work the overtime. I'm not going to try to make an name for myself. I'm just going to sit here at home, and I'm not going to do very much. And I'm just going to stay here, and I'll read my Bible, and I'll pray, and I'll just kind of sit with my family, but I'm just going to sit here. There's a problem with that, too, because there has to be a godly ambition.
Amen.
And I had a real imbalance on this before, but the Lord came and corrected me with this quote in 1959, taking on our way. Brother Graham said, the Christian ought to be the most ambitious person in the world.
That's right. Amen.
He says, bring this gospel, this glorious gospel of eternal life, to dying and inheriting the world, which is the ultimate life.
Yes, sir.
He says in another place, we've got the most important thing there is in life. We ought to have the most biggest ambition.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And it says in another place, the restoration of the bride tree, talking about the little missionaries out there. It says, them little missionaries, where I come up in my meeting like that, no shoes on, little pair of pants tied around and like that, living out there with fleas and needles and bugs and all kinds of sickness and everything else out there. Little old hands eat up with amoeba and everything else standing out there. He says, I said, yes. Oh, I always pray. But Graham says, oh God, let that man pray. Yes, that's the God. That's the God. What a beautiful ambition it would be for a woman to say, I want to do that for you.
Yes.
Amen. A prophet to say, God, let that man pray.
I believe in you.
I think whether the prophet had faith in the prayer of a simple missionary.
Amen, brother.
We can have faith in the simple prayer of the men of God that are dedicating their sins to the Lord. Not only will we promise with the Lord that we can see a light that is following the path of Christ.
Hallelujah.
It says, God commissioned Moses, I was calling many a man sitting here tonight, that he just done what God told him to a long time ago. He's been preaching the gospel. He says, do something. Don't just stand still.
Right.
Get out and you're not a picture test pump. Do something somewhere and just don't stand still. If you're washing the dishes, why testify your neighbor? Get out and pass the tracks. Do something. Don't stand still. What is in your hand, yet do something. Whatever is in your hand.
Amen. Yes.
And so we see that there's a balance to this thing. If we can't have a godly ambition, and we want to be able to energize ourselves through the Holy Spirit. But the problem, again, is when we begin to let ourselves be weighted down with these names that we make for ourselves, and these names that some people have ascribed to us, and through which our experiences in life are given to us, whether we're responsible for those experiences or not, and the nature under which we were uniquely born to. Now, the thing about it is that you don't have to stay at the name you made for yourself.
Amen.
You can forsake the name of depression. You can forsake the name of pervert. You can forsake the name of adulterer. You can forsake the name of unlovable. You can forsake the name of one who's just not interesting to people. You can forsake the name of homeless. And there is a name you can accept that gives you deliverance over all the powers of those names.
Amen.
Finishing our story then, we'll step into the story here in Genesis 27, 34 and 20, 32 and 27. We're going to finish our story. it wasn't something that Jacob wanted to do. This was a shameful thing for Jacob. He says, my name is Jacob. My name is Panther. My name is Gilgal. My name is something that's not to be desired. My name is depression. My name is friendless. My name is this, that, or the other. What does he want to do here? He says, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power of God and of men. What did he prevail against? He now prevailed against the power of that man. And he stepped into a place of position and authority in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what I really want to get to, is setting a foundation for this message. Is understanding what our position and authority is in Christ. First of all, understanding that there's a name that we have to come out of. And then there's a name that we have to accept and go into.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, what is this name? Israel, we actually break it down, we find that its Hebrew roots are Sarah. And the wonderful thing about that L is it's just not another E-L, but when you look at it, it means God.
That's right.
It's the same L as in El Shaddai.
Amen.
The great thing about God putting his name in the integer, changing it.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
And so, you see that Jacob now becomes identified. No longer with depression, no longer with his first birth and his first picture, no longer with unlovable or friendless or any of the experiences that he's had in life. He no longer is identified with those experiences, and he's no longer even identified by what he did to Laban back there as
right.
A planter, and what he did in his own life as part of the fruits of his own family. But now a name comes in here that breaks him away to empower everything that he's ever had in his life. All the seeds that he's shown sown, it's broken him away. Not that he won't, mind you, not that he won't sow fruit from those seeds, but the power of those seeds no longer have an influence over his life anymore.
Amen.
And he can live a life completely free from the influence of those things and live a life free in Christ.
Yes,
sir. Amen. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is the name that God is turning to? What is the name that God wants to place in my life? What is the name that he's calling me to?
Right.
If God placed his name in Jacob, then surely he can place his name in me. But what is that name? But we find for ourselves that through the pages of Scripture, a man called Jesus Christ comes and visits us. And he is the full manifestation of the Godhead bodily.
That's right.
It is the full, again, what is a name? It is the revelation of who a person is. And so God reveals himself fully in Jesus Christ.
Yes,
so Jesus Christ is therefore, by definition, the name of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so we have the God expressing his name in this last hour. And I believe that any Jacob experience with God will produce a new name.
That's right.
Which will identify us with him.
Amen.
In James chapter 2, he says, do not they blaspheme that word name by which you are called. So now we find that we're called by the name of Christ.
Yes, sir.
How do we get into that name? It's very simple. It says that everyone is born of God and baptized into one body
right.
By the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Born of what? Born of the Spirit of God. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And so we realize then that our Jacob experience must be that experience with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
That angel with which we are wrestling is God. And so many times we find ourselves, we say that I'm struggling with the world, I'm struggling with my flesh right now, I'm struggling with this temptation and that temptation and this temptation over here. And they just seem to have such a draw on me that when that desire to do that comes around, it just pulls me and draws me like I'm in a string and I just can't even hold myself back. No doubt there's many Christians here who know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But when that temptation comes, it's just like I've always given in. It's the same, I'm wearing the same rut in my Christian walk as I I submit to you that you're struggling not against worldlyism and not against temptation to go out and taste the world and try to find a testimony for yourself, but you're struggling against death.
Come on, brother.
As he wrestles with you and pulls on your life and tries to get you to just pass it, that blessing, just admit what your name is, just to admit that you need an identity change, that there's something that's just not right here, that I've been trying at this all this time and I just don't seem to have the overcoming power, and I just don't seem to be able to get it. There's something wrong, and God says, just pass it, just tell me, just admit to me what your name is, just admit to me your problems, just tell me your problems. All your cares upon me. I've got strong shoulders here. I can answer all of your needs. I've got depression in my life. I've got anxiety. I've got worriness in my life. I've always been a nervous person. These are names that we can throw upon the shoulders of God.
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
And so we come to that place and we find that just simply by baptizing ourselves into the Spirit, into the body of God, by the Spirit of God, we take on the name of God.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And this name has a power against all other names. But the problem then becomes, why do I still stumble? Why do I still fall? It's easy for a believer to begin looking at the promises of God and saying, I just don't get it. There's something wrong here. I'm promised deliverance from this. I'm promised this over here. And I'm promised that with the Holy Ghost, I've got overcoming power in my life.
That's right.
That I don't have to live a life that just every 3 weeks I've got this problem over here. Or every time the boss kind of rubs me the wrong way, I go up into a state of wild and don't even look like a Christian.
Hey, brother.
And we'd say, where is the Holy Ghost in my life? Is it really there? Many sincere Christians come to this. We want to see more of God. We want to see God expressed in our life. And when we don't see it, we start to question the promises of the Scripture. And when we start to question ourselves and saying, "Do I meet the qualifications? Must I enter into my mother's womb the second time to be born again? Must I enter into waters of baptism the second time to be born again and receive the promise of God? Do I do it wrong the first time?" But you see, I would submit that the same faith that causes someone to grab a hold of the promises of God for healing is the same faith that causes a person to grab a hold of the promises of God for overcoming life.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And so if you know that you have an experience with Christ, and you know that you've taken on the name of Christ through baptism of the Holy Spirit, then your overcoming is a matter of faith.
That's absolutely
Amen.
Right. That's it. Praise the Lord.
I believe that there's faith here tonight. I believe there's people here tonight that can feel the atmosphere of faith.
Hallelujah.
I'm just foolish enough to believe in the promises of God.
That's right, brother. Yes.
I'm foolish enough to believe in the foolishness of God. I'm foolish enough to believe that there's an angel messenger that came in this last age that stood beside a prophet and spoke to people and spoke to them the needs of their hearts and told them exactly what they have need of.
Yes,
and healed their bodies. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that that same Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
That Jesus Christ that was in Brother Graham's day is the same Jesus Christ today.
Yes.
And that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he will be in his midst. I just believe that Jesus Christ is standing here right now.
Amen.
I just believe that there's angels all around this room.
Yes, sir.
I just believe in God. Yes, his promises are true.
Amen.
And so I'm just foolishness enough to believe that there can be deliverance here.
Amen, brother.
I'm just foolishness enough to believe that the Holy Ghost can stretch out the strong muscles of a strong man to your house. If you've received because shock can cause it, worry can cause spiritual amnesia. It says, putting between two opinions can cause spiritual amnesia.
That's it.
My Bible says this.
Yes, right.
The Word of God says this, but the prophet says this over here, but is it really for me?
That's it.
Am I just being a little bit too fanatical to accept healing? I didn't get healing. I said I accepted it, but I didn't see the healing. Didn't come. Brother Branham said we ought to stand upon the firm promises of God, the unshakable,
yes,
unmovable revelation of Christ in our age.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And stand until the promise of God come to effect.
Amen.
Claiming the promises as if they were already made manifest to us.
That's right, brother.
As did Abraham.
Yes, sir.
As did our father in the faith.
That's right.
But you get between two opinions and you say, maybe I'm just, it's just not for me. I would encourage you tonight, saints, that if you're between two opinions, if you need something, if you have a real need in your life, if you need the Lord to answer a heart's cry, remember, delight yourself in the Lord always,
yes,
and you will fulfill the desires of your heart. You wash yourself in that word. You wash yourself by delighting Him, how can you have any impure desires? So if you find yourself with a desire, then why wouldn't God answer that? He says, if you ask of me bread, will I give you a stone?
That's right.
He won't. He is a provider. He tells people that if you don't provide for your own, then you're worse than an infidel.
That's
how
right.
Can God be worse than an infidel?
That's right, brother.
God is not worse than an infidel.
Amen.
If you have a legitimate needs tonight, needs that are born out of a pure desire for God, needs for a child in your life, that you want to see a child born as Sarah did with Abraham. That's a legitimate need. That's a God-given need. And there's God-given desires in our hearts. There's God-given ambitions in our hearts to go forth and preach the gospel to people, to go forth and have the power to give a testimony to people, to go forth and have the power to be able to preach the word to people even in our workplaces and across our kitchen tables and be able to see lives come into the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If these are desires of your heart, don't stand back from the promises of God.
That's right.
They're absolutely yours.
Amen.
Stand firm upon the promise of God.
Amen.
The problem is, though, that we get this amnesia and it cannot be healed by man. Man is absolutely at a loss to need amnesia. You have a story of a French soldier that was shocked in battle. And he no longer knew who he was. He couldn't self-identify himself anymore. And the people that were trying to minister to him, they couldn't help him. And so they just loaded him up onto a train. And they said, you know what, we'll just bust you on this train here tonight. And we'll take you over here in the infirmary ward. And we're going to do the best they can for you. And at the mid-station on that stop, Brennan tells a story of the soldier gets out there and just kind of steps outside the train and begins to look around. He sees this water tower over here. And he sees this little hill over here. The guards kind of stand back and just kind of watch him. And kind of look at him across his face. You have sometimes you know you've been traveling along the road easy before, but so he kind of travels over the hill in just the direction that it was led. It might be something else that kind of might break forth to him and kind of check out his memory a little bit. He climbs over the hill and sees a little hollow down there and goes around the hollow. Each step, something continues to hold. There's a recognition that's taking place. And you can just identify with him, even if you've never had an actual illusion, you can imagine. As you go down a place that you haven't been to in many years, it doesn't feel as familiar, but you can't predict what the next thing is. But with each step, there just seems to be an encouragement and recognition. This is a place that I've been to before. This is a place where I've danced with the sons of God before.
Amen.
This is the Lord told Job.
Right.
He comes around and he walks right beyond to the spot. And so I might wonder if I could just take the three scriptures a little bit. And we pull a few of the yourself in a place of amnesia tonight, you might be able to relate to something that's shaking and causing you to realize that these promises are the one you have to do. You can realize what your identity is. The names that he gives us, things like a new creation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And all things are lost.
Amen.
All things.
That's right. Thank you all.
He calls us to be for we can dwell in the fullness of the God of the Bible. So we have Colossians 2:10. And we have to be in the
that's right. Praise the Lord.
All those things like beloved. Well, we call ourselves unlovable.
Yes, homeless. That's right, brother.
Fatherless, loverless calls us beloved. Even us, we get called not only Jews only, but also the Gentiles, Romans 9:25. He has said also in those things, I will call in my people. Person that may have not been accepted by people growing up, the person that might not be accepted by their parents, but by the person at work that called us to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just that we're beloved, like he just kind of decides to love us, but you know, he's kind of come far on the show, just kind of throws out his love for us, just kind of says, oh, you came over here, well, I accept you, love it. I need to be friends. But he says that he's calling us children.
Yes, amen.
In Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the pleasure of his will, and unto the praise and glory of his grace, where he had made us accepted in him.
Hallelujah.
He had chosen us.
Praise the Lord.
Not only are we chosen, accepted, and beloved, but we have an intimate relationship with Christ. In John 15, he says, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you.
That's right.
Henceforth I call you not servants, but a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have of my Father, I have made known.
Hallelujah.
If you can sort of say that in the last day, that all things that the Lord has, he's made known.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Not only that, but he's calling us a peculiar people.
Yes, sir.
He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, that peculiar doesn't mean a strange, you're weird or something, but peculiar actually means it's peculiar to a particular human individual.
Amen.
We might say, I have a little green coffee cup at my house. No one drinks all that coffee cup but me. And when I have friends over, if you ever come over to my house, you won't be drinking all that coffee cup. And it looks like a strange little coffee cup because it's the only coffee cup like it. But you know, it's my coffee cup. And I've chosen it for a purpose. And I've accepted it because it just matches exactly what I want for coffee.
That's right. Glory to God.
And so I've called that coffee cup to be my coffee cup.
Amen.
And
come
I have
on,
a
brother.
Particular unique purpose for that coffee cup.
That's it.
But only coffee goes into that coffee cup.
That's right.
But so does God, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
He has a particular purpose for your life. You're not like this person over here. You're not like this person over here. God, he's a person.
Yeah.
And when someone comes into Jesus Christ's house, he doesn't touch you. He said, touch not my anointed. That's my anointed. That's my chosen. That's my accepted. I've accepted him. He has my purpose.
Yes, sir.
And every purpose that I have ascribed to him will be fulfilled.
Glory
and
to
there's
God.
Nothing that can break him away from that because I have declared him to be mine.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I have declared them to be the lights of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I have declared. nations are built up. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. A built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ. So that we can receive the people to cry out this dark world as priests. And we have also declared us to be kings.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Glory.
So
yes.
Not only are we're not poppycocks here tonight, but we're lights of the world, shining forth the glory of God.
Yes,
we're priests and interceding for people, and we're kings with authority.
Yes, sir.
We're not servants, but we're friends, and friends that have been given authority of God.
Yes, sir.
And
amen.
So now we can begin to see a view of ourselves, not as the world would give us. You've stepped into this world and you're born just with a great wash of humanity coming down you, just like the wash that comes from the sea, and you're born in all that filth. That's who you are. No, it's not defined by your experiences. It's not defined by how people treat you.
God.
It's not even defined by your own mistakes and your own shortcomings in life. But there is a power of God that baptizes you into one body by the Spirit of Jesus Christ and has prepared you a unique and particular individual unto himself. And he has a unique purpose for who you are.
Amen.
Called to be a unique light unto the world. Called for a particular purpose as a priest to intercede for
time all together, let's sing it again.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
Praise the Lord. Out there, I'm asking you to evaluate your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've received the Holy Ghost, I don't want you to act like you haven't. But if there's one soul here that would say, I don't know if I have, but I want to, would you raise your hand to the Lord and say, Heavenly Father, can you bury me from my old name? I know what I am in. Without you, Lord, I'm tired of it. I hate it. I want to change on the inside. Can you fill me with your Spirit? God bless each hand that's ready. It's a gallant thing that doesn't happen very often in this end time. But I believe God's still calling. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Hold that faith up there and says, I'm not leaving the same. Don't worry about your neighbor. Jacob wrestled all night. He was pretty focused on one man for a long time. There was one thing Jacob knew when he left. He couldn't walk the same anymore. But with the change. He walked like Jacob for a long time, but it was time to walk like Israel. Hallelujah. Now, Christian friend that has received the Spirit of God, have you got away from your faith? Have you forgot who you are? Is there a big cloud around you where you say, well, I thought I was the bride, but anymore it just seems like it's got to be somebody else. It can't be me. I'm here to tell you that there's a man that can turn the light back on. So what I want you to do, I want you to go back when you met him. The prophet said, if you can't find the Lord, you need to go back and find where you left him, because he's still there waiting. How do I go back there, brother? You can find faith, believing, accepting. God, I'm going to believe what you said about me. There's no one here that can say you just got the Holy Ghost. No, God came to you and gave you the Holy Ghost. Why did he give it to you? Because you're his elected. Last time you were sick, who showed up to heal you? The last time you didn't know how you're going to pay the bill, who showed up? And you're telling me that you still don't think you're the elect of God. It makes me angry when I disbelieve God, when I think of how much I hurt him, and I understand why it hurts him. Because he does so much for me and shows so much love to me, my unbelief is enough to throw it in his face. God, forgive us for our unbelief today. Are you sick tonight? Say, Heavenly Father, I've been disbelieving for a long time, but I'm not going to disbelieve tonight. You promised healing to me. It is my possession. It's something you have given me. And I believe it, Lord. I want you glorified in my life. God bless each one. God bless this one. Don't put your hand up in a formality. Believe that that's all heaven going to answer your request tonight. It means more than what the rotten devil, I can't stand it. What did the prophet say? You raise your hand, you're defying gravity. That can mean the difference between death and life. Don't let the devil tell you it doesn't mean anything. Hallelujah. Let your heart go out of your hand in faith and say, I'm raising this because I believe God. Hallelujah. I'm doubting my doubts. I'm not believing my unbelief. I'm not Jacob anymore. I'm Israel. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm part of Christ. Hallelujah. God bless each hand. But you go ahead. You pray. You seek. You find tonight. Because he promised it to you. You'd seek and seek and seek. He'll be there. Hallelujah. And get to that place where the faith drops in. And it doesn't matter how many devils show up. You've got faith. And he can't take it from you. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Just stay in this atmosphere. Stay believing. Stay confessing the word of God until it's manifested in your heart and in your life to where you can say, I know that I've met Jehovah and he's destroyed the enemy's kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's too quiet tonight. No, sir. The word is the word. I pray you heard his voice. I don't mean to keep going on and on. I'm not rambling. It's the Holy Spirit's here. It's on the way home. Listen to questions and answers. What do you think Brother Branham preached about? Jacob and Esau. And I'm sorry for those of you who think this, maybe this didn't speak to you tonight, but this sermon was all for Brother Andrew. I started this college degree. I'm starting this class and think, what do you think it was beginning to happen? Having ambition in myself for my own kingdom. Might buy a house here. Ambition for myself to be a new kingdom. I'm just going to be honest. Because if I'm not honest, how do I expect you to be honest? The last 2 days, I barely even read my Bible. Barely even prayed because I've been so busy doing this schoolwork. And I'm your pastor. Don't you elevate me to a God. I'm a man. I need the same blood you need. I need the same grace you need. But I believe that God ordained me, predestinated me, and that's why I'm making it. He changed my name. He changed who I am. You come to church, you don't feel good, but your hands go up anyways. Why? The inner man, who you are, just praises anyways. The flesh, that's not you. That's a devil. That's dead. Reckon yourselves dead and alive unto Christ. Hallelujah. That's the faith of God. That's it. Church, that's all that was. When people saw visions and had healings, that's all it was, is what you're feeling now. You believe it. Watch the effects come down. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the word tonight as we feel the Holy Spirit coming to make that word manifest. Father, may everything of the devil be defeated by the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, we rebuke you and all your unbelief, all of your doubt. For the child of God doubting salvation, Satan, we adjure you, leave. For the saint of God sick in body tonight, you paid for our infirmities, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, may they leave well tonight. Hallelujah. The discouraged heart, oh God, I pray for clear vision. That they won't see what they were. Or what the devil's saying they still are. But they'll see way past that into the mind of God. And find themselves with Job. Shouting for joy with the sons of God. More than anything, Lord, we lift our hands and say thank you. You're so worthy, Heavenly Father. We love you. We adore you. We worship you tonight, the one true living God. How happy we are to know your name. To be able to call you not just El Shaddai or the I Am. Are there to be some cloud? But we really don't know. But we know who we've married. And we've taken on his name. And our Lord, we want to be just a bride ready to go to a marriage supper. Help us, Lord, we pray. Mold us, make us into your image, is our heart's desire. Bless each one, Lord, as we're delighting ourselves in you. May you just show you delight yourself in us. manifest your word in every heart as we know your presence is here now to do so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget the art of worship. And you go ahead and worship God. Hallelujah. Sisters up for prayer. We're going to pray with her. Pray for one another. Believe for one another. If you need a need, you can feel free to come forward as well. But take steps of faith to get up here. Don't come up here expecting some fancy thing to happen. Expect that we're going to do the word, and the word will produce. That's it. God bless you, each one that wants to come. Stay in that atmosphere. Dad, you can continue to sing on the other side. Would you come? We'll pray together.
Thank you.
take a moment without any music, just worship Him your own way with all your heart. Hallelujah, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I worship your holy name. Thank you for taking care of me, Lord. Thank you for your love towards me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my unbelief. Lord God, forgive me for my unbelief. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your love. Lord, help us, Jesus, just to walk like you, to believe, Lord, the promises of God. Thank you, Jesus. I worship your name. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise your glorious name.
Thank you, God.
We worship you. We praise you. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray together for the prayer cloth. Sister Melissa, would you put our hands on this together? I'll just lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word you promised in Acts 19 that they took from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and they laid on the sick, and many were recovered, Lord. We know that we're not St. Paul, but we're still part of the same body, and we have the same Holy Ghost within us that Paul did. We pray that the anointing of God would go into this cloth. And that wherever it would go, Lord, that every stronghold of the enemy, physical, spiritual, mental, would be destroyed, Father, and you'd be glorified in the situation. We claim it and agree together as a body of believers. May you produce the word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we agree together. Amen. Amen. Go believing, sister. Take that with you. Worthy. Just keep worshiping.
The land that was
slain. Let's sing praise and praise. Yes,
Lord. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise the land that was slain. Oh,
just that way.
I love.
Lord a hand clap of praise and worship tonight with all your heart. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Lord, you're worthy. I worship you. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sinner that needs to get right with God, he feels okay. No conviction at all. And then the Christian who's got his heart right, he's just beating himself all over the place, ain't he? What did you hear tonight, church? I feel the right, I'm saying, are we really believing that we're the children of God? Amen. Now look, you go ahead and tell your face that. You go ahead and tell your heart that when it gets discouraged. As we preach, let not your hearts be discouraged. You believed in God? Believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
It's built for us.
Yeah.
Just let this life go ahead and burn. Isn't that right, brothers? Go warm. I'm done down here a long time ago. Some of us younger people, I think we just need to get a few more years on us so we can realize we're done down here. There's nothing to live for down here. Isn't that right? Even the little hope we have, even as young people, is burning up fast.
Yep.
Hallelujah. But aren't we glad that in the midst of Satan's eating, there's still a people called by his
name.
I just saw, do you feel him here today? Can you appropriate enough faith that you can honestly walk out of here with every redemptive blessing that's yours? So, well, I don't feel it. That's not the promise. Well, I don't think it. That's not the promise. Do you believe it?
Amen.
And I know it's hard for most people, but if you'll just hold on to that little mustard seed of confession, it will take out mountains.
Yes.
Yep. So, well, like Brother said, I've been dealing with 50 years. One little mustard seed of faith, one night, can wipe out 50 years
Amen.
Of backslidden heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I really appreciate Brother Josiah coming tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Lord, for our blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to leave on a good confession tonight for the children of God. How many is a new creation?
Amen.
How many is a brand new man?
Amen.
Brand new woman?
Amen.
Old things, all them old things are passed away. Believe it tonight. That blood annihilated it.
Amen.
You're a new creation.
Amen.
Not just anything. You're him.
Yes.
It's the same life.
Yes.
I just feel good now. I just feel great, don't you? Because I believe it.
Yes.
And I can feel it. I can experience it now. I'm tired, church, but I feel really good right now. Why? You can bring this flesh under subjection every time. Tell it to shut up once. You be on the job, you're getting mad, tell it. Say, shut up. I look stupid. Of course you look stupid. You look stupid anyway. You're a Christian. You're not cussing. You're not drinking. You're not smoking. You're not talking about women. You already look stupid. You might as well tell them it's because of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what that's all about. Hallelujah. But do you feel that faith that's here? Do you feel that? That's him. Now look, that's yours. It's yours. Take it with you. It'll conquer the devil anytime, any place, anywhere. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing that together. Sorry. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Yeah. Just praise the Lord.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again.
That's what you are tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm a brand new man.
Sing it again, sing it again.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
I'm going to let Dad take over that song here. Make sure you're on your way out. You go ahead and keep worshiping praise as long as you want to. That's just fine. Tell Brother Josiah you appreciate him. Thank him for being the vessel. The Holy Spirit come talk to us through. Again, how many of you appreciate the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So make sure you do that. Come expecting great things no matter where you are. Expect great things in the morning. How's that?
Yes.
Expect great things when you get out that door tonight.
Yes.
Now what you ask God really going to happen. And it did happen.
Yes.
It did happen. Anything contrary is just a lie anyway.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You do that for me. Can you do that for me tonight? Can we get a big hearty amen on three? One, two, three.
Amen.
That felt good. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to hand the service to Dad. God bless you tonight. You just missed. Go in the fear of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a new man. God bless you, sinners.
That's what I...